Greetings to you, wonderful people in the matchless, mighty, glorious, and saving name of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is No More Walls, the hardest-hitting and the most comprehensive apostolic phonecast on the air today. And I'm just so glad that you are my very special guest today, tuning in to one of the greatest apostolic phonecasts anywhere, the most talked about, to the glory of God, phonecast on the internet today. No More Walls. That is No More Walls. I'm your host, J.T. Wheeler, and you are in store for an hour of power-packed teaching from God's Word, from one of the greatest pioneers of our generation, Chief Elder Charles Ford Walker, who's going to be joining us here rather shortly. But first of all, we want to go and talk about today's sponsor for today's broadcast. Our sponsor today is David Clappert and UCStreaming.net. Again, that's the letter U, the letter C, and then streaming.net. UCStreaming.net is for churches who are looking to stream live on the internet. So check it out, sponsor. No one beats the price for live archived video streaming provided by David Clapper and his team of experts. Why pay nearly $1,000 a month for video streaming for your church website when you can only spend a fourth of less than $100 a month and get the same quality service and product you currently have? Well, you want to cut that expense by astronomical proportions, check out our sponsor today, UCStreaming.net. Speaking of UCStreaming.net, No More Walls will soon be getting away from phonecasting. That means people will soon not be required to listen to the show by calling in via a telephone number, but will soon be able to log on to our website, NoMoreWallsOnline.com, and listen to us live via a live audio stream provided to us by UCStream. We'll be sure to keep everyone posted when we transition over completely. Well, we are in store, like I said, for a fantastic hour or longer, however long it takes our wonderful guests to minister us the Word of God who is being given free reign today. Chief Elder Walker is no stranger to us here at No More Walls. He has heard all over the world via his website, apostolic-ministries.net, and has written countless essays and articles pertaining to the Apostles' Doctrine, which have received worldwide distribution. As a son of the Gospel to the late Bishop S. E. Johnson, Chief Elder Walker is one of the remaining few who were personally ordained by Bishop Johnson just before his homegoing. Now, Elder Walker enjoys preaching the gospel week after week from his home base in Titusville, Florida, and overseeing the day-to-day operations of Apostolic Ministries of America. As the pastor of Norwood Tabernacle, Elder Walker also travels extensively throughout the United States each week, helping to set up churches and restore older churches that once enjoyed the revival spirit that birthed them to begin with. Chief Elder Walker is an accomplished author. He's a speaker, a lecturer, and teacher of God's Word. Today on No More Walls, we are going to be discussing a doctrine called No Son of God in Heaven Now. When Elder Walker first appeared on our show a few months ago, he briefly mentioned this doctrine, but that brief introduction set off a firestorm of interest among our listeners who demanded that we delve further into the intricacies of its claims. Not too soon after that, we contacted Minister Kendrick Murray, who came on the show a couple of weeks ago, in an attempt to dismantle the No Son of God in Heaven Now teaching. Today, we are giving Chief Elder Walker the same respect to further talk about the No Son of God in Heaven Now doctrine and further declare this teaching. So get your Bibles, let's get ready and search the Scriptures to see if those things be so. Chief Elder Walker, thank you so much for joining us here today on today's broadcast of No More Walls.
And thank you, Reverend Wheeler, for having me on your program again today and to discuss this subject matter that I've pretty much put to rest many, many years ago, but it seems that there is a lot of interest in it all of a sudden, and I'm here today to provide a little bit more input on it, and I just want to thank you for the job that you're doing in order to get a focus in on this type of material and these types of studies in the apostolic community. And the Lord is certainly going to bless you for the fine job that you're doing.
Well, we're doing our best in the ability that God has given us. We just appreciate you coming and being our guest today. What we want to do right now, Elder, is without any further ado, I just want to go ahead and give you the liberty, and you take however long you want to, and share with us and the listening audience exactly what the No Son of God in Heaven Now doctrine is. The whole hour is yours. Feel free to minister how you feel led of the Lord. We're just going to sit back and listen as you expound on the Word of God. Saints of God, help me welcome Chief Elder Charles Ford Walker to minister the Word of the Lord.
Thank you. And I want to say to those that will be listening in, I welcome you also to this phone cast for the purpose of spreading knowledge and understanding. I'm not on here today to try to bring anybody down. I'm not on here to try to show learned people, intelligent people, that they don't know what they're talking about. I'm not on here to try to make you look bad in front of other people. I'm only here, my only concern is that I'm trying to bring some additional truth of God to you. And that is my purpose, is to not to bring you down, not to destroy you in any kind of way, but to get you to see the truth of the gospel. And that is the only purpose. And I contend that the truth of the gospel is as it is written, without any change, without any modifications. It is as it was given, and we have to use that to make determinations in regards to the truth of God. The only way that we know anything about God at all, whether we speak of Him as God Almighty or whether we speak of Him in manifestations as the Father or as the Son or as the Holy Ghost or as the many, many other manifestations of God, we only know about Him in as much as we understand His Word. There is no other information that we can get anywhere in all of the universe about God, who He is, and what He is, except through the Word of God. So it is important that we understand the Word of God so that we can understand who God is, who Jesus is, who the Son of God was, in order to make it be appropriately corresponding with the Scripture. We have to understand the Word of God. And today, this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at this thing as a whole. We're going to look at it from the beginning. We're going to look at just basically what is doctrine, what is the Godhead, what is God Almighty, what is the Holy Ghost, what was the Son of God, and what is the Son of God. And in coming to a conclusion of these subject matters, we hope to impress on you that the conclusion would be that there is no Son of God in heaven now. Okay? There is no Son of God in heaven now. Now, we all know that the Son of God was created for a particular purpose. The Is that right? We all know that he was manifested for a particular purpose. And the scriptures tell us that purpose for which the Son of God was manifested was that he might destroy the works of the devil. That is the purpose for which the Son of God was manifested, was to destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil is sin. The problem with sin is that sin has a penalty. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. And that is a problem. And that is why the Son of God was manifested, was to destroy the product of sin or the works of the devil, which is death. Now, heaven, there was no problem there. There was no problem in heaven at all. Therefore, there was nothing needed in heaven to manifest itself to destroy the works of the devil. Because when sin showed up in heaven, God got rid of it. So there was no need for a manifestation of the Son of God in heaven because there was no problem in heaven. Christ said in Luke 10 and 18, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning falleth from heaven. In other words, Christ explicitly told of the time that he witnessed Satan being expelled from heaven. Satan was expelled from heaven, and heaven went back to its normal, eternal procedures that it had always been and that it always will be. No problem. But Satan was put somewhere, and he was put somewhere because of what he had become. If you go to Ezekiel, the 28th chapter and the 16th verse, it describes Satan. We have to start at the beginning of this in order to get an understanding. It describes Satan as by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reasons of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will cast thee to the ground, or I will cast thee to earth. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. 18th verse, it says, I have defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes up on the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall thou be any more. Now this is Satan as he was judged by God as to what was going to happen to him, and he was expelled from heaven to earth, and he told him of his fate on earth as to what was to become of him in the future. And God needed no one to take care of heaven. He did that himself. He said, I will cast thee to earth. And in all of heaven's works, the reason he never needed anybody to take care in heaven was that all of heaven's works were finished from the beginning. There was nothing in heaven that had to be done because it was an eternal domain. There are no minutes, there are no seconds, there are no timelines in heaven. It is an eternal domain, and all of that work was finished from the beginning, simply because it is an eternal domain. Glory to God. It doesn't take minutes and days and times and seconds and months and years to accomplish something in an eternal domain. It is accomplished without a timeline. Therefore, the end and the beginning are synonymous, are the same. So his work was finished from the beginning. In Hebrews 4:3, we read, "For we have believed, for we which believe do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." For all of those that believe, and all of those that are saved today, the works that was needed to bring you to God in this plan of salvation was finished before the foundation of the world. Angels had not walked down the aisles of solitude. Heaven and earth had not been created when this plan of salvation was conceived in God and hid in God before the foundations of the world. It was there. Ephesians 1:4, "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." The fact that we are able to live today in a sanctified way, in a way free of sin, is because we were chosen by him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and that we would be without blame before him in love. Matthew 25:34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So we can see that there was no need of any kind of preparations in heaven. There was no need for anything that needed to be added in heaven. God did not need an addition to the Godhead in heaven because the works were finished from the beginning. He did not need the addition of the Godhead because all things were as they always would be, and they were as they always had been. Deuteronomy 32:39, "See now that I am he, and there is no God with me." There is no God with me. "I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword and my mind had take hold of judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and will reward them that hate me." So you see, God needs no addition to his Godhead. He is alone and there is no God before him. We find that Jesus Christ called himself God, and the Jews took up stones to kill him. But here we see that God is saying, "There is no God with me." When we get into the eternal entity of God, we'll discuss that a little bit more. Heaven is without a problem. There was no problem in heaven. But how about earth? What happened to earth? It seems that there was a problem on earth. The problem on the earth was because of sin. It was because of sin that was originated in the heart of Lucifer and in the mind of Lucifer. And that sin found its way into the human family here on earth after Satan was cast out of heaven. As he was cast out of heaven, Christ said that he beheld Satan as lightning falls from heaven. And you know, when lightning falls from heaven, amen, when it hits a tree, what does it do to that tree? It makes toothpicks out of it. Right? It destroys whatever it hits. And the earth was no exception. The earth was destroyed at the casting of Satan to the ground. And in this destruction, everything became void and out of order, and God had to restore it. And God did restore it. And in the process of restoring the earth back to its pristine condition that it was before Lucifer was cast to earth, he also put man on earth. He put man on earth, and when he put man on earth, he gave man dominion of all of the earth. Well, Satan found a way to induce sin into the human family. And this was the problem that was on earth, is that the inhabitants of the earth were dead because of sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. So the problem on earth was that the occupants or the human family was dead because of sin. The life that was in them had been compromised by sin. The life that was in them had been taken by death. And this death was up on everybody. Now, this Adam that was created after the restoration of the earth, he was created and was called the Son of God. Adam was the Son of God. Keep that in mind, that he was the Son of God. As it says in Luke 3:38, you can read Luke 3:38, and it shows the generations in which the Son of Adam, which was the Son of God. Now, Romans 5:14 tells us of this condition. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Death, because of sin, death reigned upon all the earth from the very first dispensation of innocence until the dispensation of law. From Adam unto Moses, death reigned. And death reigned even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions. But death still reigned because any transgression of the law is sin. So all of the people of the world had been guilty of the sin that was introduced into the human family by Adam, and they wore that sin. Therefore, death was upon all of them because of the sin that was inherited from Adam. This was a sin that was a non-forgiving sin. This was a sin that could not be dealt with. This was a sin that was eternal in nature, in that it had the power to forever bind man to the pains of death. Now it says this Adam in Romans 5:14 said, who is the figure of him that was to come? Now Adam was the figure of him that was to come. Adam was the figure of another figure that John saw in Revelation chapter 5 that was to come. In other words, Adam was that figure of him that was to come, and this is why Adam had to be made in the image of God, because he was the figure of that which was to come, or he was the figure of that God which was to come to earth in order to reverse the sting of death and to destroy it, that man was able to live again, or that man could be able to live again. And as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So, in Adam all are dead, but in Christ, who he was the figure of, or he was the figure of that Christ which was to come, in him, in the real thing, all shall be made alive. Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The life Adam was made a quickening spirit. So we see God taking the first Adam, and we're going to get into this in a minute, where God took the first Adam and made him a living soul. But he took the second Adam, who was still an Adam, but he was made a quickening spirit. And we'll understand why this took place in a few minutes. And in doing that, he is laying the preparations, or the work that had been finished from the beginning, or before the beginning of time, is now beginning to unfold. That Adam, who he made on earth, was made a human being. He was made a flesh-type human being. But he was the figure of that which was to come, which would be a quickening spirit. All right? Now, because of Adam's fall, Satan inherits the dominion of the world. Because of the fall of Adam, Satan inherits the dominion of the world. In other words, let me make myself plain. Irregardless of who you are, so you die. You're a wealthy man, and you die. You have possessions. You have money in the bank. You have ownerships, and you die. And when you die, what happens to all that you had? When you die, all that you had, have, goes to someone else. Or all that you had goes to someone else. Somebody inherits what you had while you were living when you died. Now, if there's no clear record, as to who would be able and entitled to inheriting what you have, we go through a probate court and the judge will determine who is to get what you left here after you died. So, nobody was alive at that time because of sin. The human family was dead. So the only living entity was that eternal being that was called Satan. He was the only living entity in the earth. So by default, he inherited the kingdom of Adam. He inherited the dominion of the earth that God had given to Adam by default. He took that dominion, and he safely tucked it in the seats of hell to where it would be safe and that no one would ever be able to wrestle it away from him. Because of the fact a righteous man can't go to hell. And if an unrighteous man go to hell, he can never get back. So the dominion of Adam was safely tucked in hell by Satan, to where no one would ever be able to get it. No one would ever be able to retrieve it, and he would be the god of this world forever. And to further stipulate the fact that Satan inherited this dominion, it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, 4:3, it talks about our gospel. And it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. Job 1:7, and the Lord said unto Satan, where comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, I'm coming, I'm from going to and fro in earth and from walking it up and down. This is my territory. I come from that which I own. And Mark 12:26, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? So we see clearly that this earth is God's dominion. The dominion of this earth came about being owned by Satan because of a thing called iniquity. Because of a thing called iniquity that is in the hearts of all men and all women. Whether you're saved or whether you're not saved, you still have iniquity in you. It is in your hearts, even though you have the Holy Ghost. Iniquity is still in your hearts. And iniquity, the mystery of iniquity, is now at work. And the mystery of iniquity was at work when God put Adam in the garden and gave him the commandments to do what was to be done. And this iniquity showed up. It showed up by the serpent being more substantive than any beast in the field in Genesis 3:1, which the Lord God had made. And the serpent said unto the woman, yeah, God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden. But after the woman talked to him and explained to him some things, and in turn he explained things to her in a more clever and a devious manner. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and give also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the Lord God said in Genesis 3:15, unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and thou did eat. So the serpent, through taking advantage of what Adam had done in renaming the woman, in renaming the female Adam, and recategorizing her, because in Hebrew you are what your name says you are. Whatever you are in life, it is what your name is. Glory to God. You can't be something unless that is your name. So when Adam changed the name of the female Adam, it allowed Satan to get to the woman and cause iniquity to work and sin to be conceived, and thus the downfall of the human family. The mystery of iniquity further abounds in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, Matthew 12:24-12, Acts 8:23, Titus 2:14. And Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us, speaking of Christ, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. But nevertheless, death did reign from Adam unto Moses, and all men had sinned, even though it may not have been after the similitude of Adam's transgression. And Romans 5:17 says, by this one man, man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, by Jesus Christ. Much more, that second Adam, which was made a quickening spirit, those that believe and those that are extended the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, are by him, shall ring in life. In other words, life will be given back to those that are dead. Life will be given back to those who are eternally dead with the sins of Adam shut up and no way to get rid of them through this man, Christ. For since death by man came, death by man came also the resurrection of the dead. In other words, death came by Adam, and the resurrection, or life after death, came also by Adam, who was the true figure, or the quickening spirit, or the Lord from heaven. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, he delivered us from so great a death, and do it deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. In other words, this death was great. This death was an irreversible death that man had caught himself in. And there was no way for man to be delivered from this death except a plan of salvation that had been done, that had been organized, that had been developed by God before the foundations of the world could come to life in the process of time to free us from that death. Glory to God, hallelujah. Colossians 1:22, in the body of his flesh through death. In other words, Christ did it in the body of his flesh, through the death of that flesh, to present you holy and unblameable in the unreprovable and unreprovable in his sight. 2 Titus 1:10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. In other words, Christ abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's why the Bible tells us that the law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom is preached and all men presses into it. Because through the gospel, or through the word of God, keep this in mind, through the word of God, life and immortality has come back to the human family. Glory to God, hallelujah. Hebrews, we see Jesus, Hebrews 2:9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He was made a little lower, and was crowned with glory, honor, and by the grace of God should taste death for every man. It was he that would taste death for every man. For as much as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he may destroy him that had power over death, that is the devil, that he may keep true God's word in Ezekiel 28, that I will destroy you, O cherub, who has fallen from grace because of iniquity which led you to sin, that I will destroy him that had power over death, which is the devil. And for Christ, in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. This entity was put to death in the flesh, but he was quickened by the Spirit. In other words, the second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Therefore, death could not touch him. Only in the flesh could it touch him. And these things begin to unravel. And they begin to unravel, and now man is dead with no hopes of ever being saved. But God had a plan. He had a plan. He had an eternal plan of salvation for the regeneration of man. He had a plan of salvation that would destroy death and enable man to live again. God had this plan. God Almighty himself had this plan. And it began in Genesis 3:15. And he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head. This is the promise of a Savior coming into the world to deal with Satan and his instruments of death through sin and transgression. That he will bruise his head. Glory to God, hallelujah. Satan was promised to be destroyed, and Christ This is a promise of that figure that Adam was, which was to come into the world to deal with the destruction of death or the works of the devil. Genesis 49:10 brings it up a little bit closer to us. We're getting a little bit closer now, folks. Just hold on here. I know I'm using a lot of time, but you got to get this background. Don't you never understand this thing. The specter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet unto Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10, as Joseph sat there and blessed his sons, blessed the future nations of the world, glory to God, he said, the specter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet unto Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. It is unto Shiloh shall the gathering of the people be, for all of those that were lost, for all of those that were dead in sin, now can gather unto Shiloh and receive an abundance of life that they can live once again according to the righteousness that is in him, that is in Christ. Glory to God, hallelujah. We're bringing it closer. We're bringing it closer and closer and closer. Heaven was without a problem. We know that, but earth had a problem, and because of this problem, glory to God, hallelujah, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, God wanted to gather together in one all things that would be in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. But the problem with the earth was sin, and this could not happen until the earth had been able to be revitalized in regards to what it would be like. And this is why he told his apostles, when you pray, I teach you how to pray, you pray that earth will be like heaven, that thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In other words, the will in earth had to be that which was the will in heaven in order for this plan of salvation to come forth and save mankind from all humanity. These are mysteries that we speak. They are the hidden wisdom of God that he ordained unto the world for our glory, that we can discuss today and bring it to pass, and understanding and the knowledge of these things through the exploration and the exploring of the Holy Scriptures and the commandments of God. Heaven was without a problem, and it continued to go on since the beginning of time. Man had not heard, nor man had perceived, or eyes hadn't seen the things that God had prepared for him that waited for him. So heaven was already prepared for those that waited for him. There was no need for any preparation in heaven. I said that before. The need was in earth. The need was the preparation on earth to prepare those people that he awaited in heaven to give him these riches and these joyful blessings of eternal life and eternal possession of all of the things that God has in store for those that love him. So earth had to be conditioned and had to be changed in order for it to be made like heaven, and in order for us, the inhabitants of the earth, to receive the heavenly benefits that await all of those that trust upon his name. Glory to God, hallelujah. Heaven was without a problem. Glory to God, hallelujah. It just didn't have a problem. The problem strictly was the earth. Keep that in mind. And salvation, the destruction of the death, could not be implemented by God Almighty except it be implemented according to the first order of operations of the Holy Ghost. In other words, if death was going to be destroyed, there had to be an implementation of a plan of salvation, but it had to be according to the first order of operations of the Holy Ghost. If humanity was to return to God, It had to be according to his holy word. It had to honor the eternal sayings of God Almighty. God said. In Genesis 1:11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb, the yielding of the seed, the fruit, yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. Genesis 1:25, and God said that the beast of the earth be after his kind, the earth after his kind. Genesis 6:20, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing in the earth after his kind. Even going into the ark, it had to be after its kind. So the first order of operations of the Holy Ghost and the execution of God's word is that everything is after his kind. Everything must be after its kind. Keep that in mind, even when you leave this phone cast today. Keep in mind that the eternal operations of the Holy Ghost only works when everything is after his kind. It does not work in any other way. So this was why Adam, the first Adam, was the figure of the second Adam that was to come, because it had to be after his kind because of the sayings of God. Now the sayings of God tells us that everything has to be after his kind, irregardless. So God created Adam. He created the female Adam after Adam's kind. All right? He did not create the female Adam until after he had created Adam, because she had to be after his kind and she had to be of his flesh. In other words, marriage is to make two one. So the female Adam had to be created out of Adam in that they could be that one flesh. And God made them in his image and after his likeness. And he said, let them, in Genesis 1:26, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and all the earth and every creeping thing. This is the dominion that I told you a while ago that was lost because of sin and taken over by default by Satan. So God created man in his own image. In them he created him, male and female. He created them and blessed them. Get this now. He blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth up on the earth. God had given this dominion to Adam. And he said, have control. And not only are you going to replenish the earth, you're going to be fruitful, you're going to multiply, you're going to replenish the earth, but most of all, you're going to subdue it and deliver it to me. And subduing the earth, when the earth is subdued, then man would have made that transition or that transformation into eternal life. If Adam had kept the word of God and been able to subdue the earth, then man would have been able to make that transition to eternal life. But because of sin, Adam failed to do that. But when the fall of man came and he died, he could not execute the commandments of God which were given him, because dead man can't execute. Dead man can't do nothing. You're dead. You're dead. Dead man can't subdue nothing. He's dead. So Adam could not subdue the earth and deliver it to God. But God had issued that proclamation. God had said it. God had said it. And God is not a man, in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should not lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. In other words, neither is he going to take it back. So God had said, let Adam have dominion over the earth, the fishes, all the living, let him subdue it, and let him deliver it up to me, and God was not going to take that back. He is not going to take it back because he said, and he says, he shall, and shall he not do it, or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If God speaks it, he's going to make it good. If God says it, he's going to do it. So now we're in a situation here where Adam had been given commandments of God to subdue the earth and be fruitful and multiply. And I don't mean having children. That means producing fruit for God. That means spiritual multiplication. And don't have nothing to do with the physical stuff. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And Adam is now dead, and a dead man can't be fruitful. A dead man can't subdue. Glory to God. But God's word has to stand. God's word has to stand. This is why. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so then God has to give salvation and destroy death according to all of his sayings, and all restoration has to be after his kind. If he told Adam to do it, then Adam has to do it. But Adam is dead. Therefore, it is of necessity to create another Adam that can do what God commanded the Adam to do in the first place. However, the second Adam that he made him a quickening spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And if anything other than Adam is used to fix this problem, God's word would be a lie. If anything other than Adam was used to subdue the world and deliver it up to God, God's word would be a lie because he told Adam to do it. Okay? Glory to God. Hallelujah. But the problem was that there was no one able to execute. Romans 5:3. Amen. We're getting on into this thing now. Revelation 5:3. John said that no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereof on. No man in heaven was able to open the book. The book was the seal. Was the seal plans of God. It was the seal counsels of God. Shut up in a mystery that no one was able to get to unravel and to explain and to process in order that man could live again. And no one was able in heaven. No one was able in heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? Michael. Gabriel, all of the multitude of angels, but they were not worldly because they were not after Adam's kind. They were eternal. Angels could not die. They were immortal. They couldn't see death. Therefore, they were not worldly. Glory to God. And then he looked up under the earth. And then he looked in earth. And nobody was found. Why? Because everybody in the earth and under the earth was dead. Dead man can't execute. So nobody was able to open the book. And John saw, he saw a condition of man. John looked back in Revelation. Revelation is about Jesus Christ from the beginning to the end. So John at this time in Revelation is seeing before the plan of salvation was given to the human family. And John sees a condition that is helpless, that no one will be able to go into the Spirit of God and get out of the Spirit of God what is needed in order for man to live again. And John wept much. He began to cry exceedingly because he realized that the world was lost and there was never no hope for humanity. That it would be lost for all eternity because nothing is worthy. Nobody is worthy to do it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They weren't able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And he wept. But one of the elders told John, he said, John, don't you cry. Don't cry. Behold the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. Glory to God. amen, someone, oh glory to God, has prevailed to open the book, to loosen the seven seals, glory to God, hallelujah, and explore the seven counsels of God, and get out of the seven counsels of God a plan of salvation that would destroy death and bring life back to humanity that they could live again. Oh, glory to God. And John said, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, in the middle of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, glory to God, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. And this that was in the midst of the throne, nobody is in the midst of the throne except God Almighty. God Almighty. John had looked at this throne, and he looked into the midst of heaven, and he looked and he saw this throne, and he saw that only one sat on that throne, and that one was God Almighty. And now, in a closer observation, he is seeing that one, God Almighty, looking like a lamb that had been slain, glory to God, hallelujah, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all of the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Glory to God, hallelujah. And when he took it, he opened the book. Glory to God, and he got out of the book the plan of salvation that would let man live again, glory to God, by the destruction and the abolishing of death. Glory to God, hallelujah. But this figure, man, that John saw was in heaven. Are we getting here now? The figure that John saw was in heaven, but there is no problem in heaven, folks. Heaven is all right. Heaven is good. John saw this man, this figure in heaven. Heaven is fine. The problem is on earth. Death reigns on earth, not in the eternal dominion of heaven. There is no death in heaven. Death has conquered all of humanity on earth. This figure that is in heaven has to be like the figure Adam that was on earth in order to keep God's saying true. Are you listening? In order to keep God's sayings true, this figure that John saw in heaven has to be like the figure Adam that was on earth in order for God's sayings to be true. Therefore, there is a need of transition. There's a need of transposing. There's a need to take this which is in heaven and find a way to apply it to earth where the problem is. Glory to God. And this is true. The problem, again, is true according to Romans 5:14. Death is ringing from Adam unto Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam, who was the figure of him that is to come. So this that John saw in heaven had to be hung like Adam in order to carry out the commandments of God. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The life, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45. The first man, verse 47, is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Adam was of the earth. The first Adam was of the earth. The second Adam was the Lord from heaven. It wasn't nobody's son. He was the Lord from heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Come to exercise, glory to God, the plan of salvation that had been hidden in God since before the foundations of the world. It was the Lord from heaven that come because no one was found worthy to undertake this project. Glory to God, hallelujah. Angels couldn't do it because they were of another dimension. Glory to God, couldn't die, had no blood. Glory to God, were immortal. Glory to God, and all mankind, all humanity was already dead. So the second Adam that came had to be the Lord from heaven because there was no one left to do it except God. So the second Adam became the Lord from heaven. Glory to God. 1 John 3, he that committed sin is of the devil, and the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. God Almighty manifested himself as the Son of God in order to destroy these works of the devil that man could live again, but he was the Lord from heaven. That's what the scriptures say. Glory to God. Now things that were needed in God's eternal plan of salvation in order to save man. And the first thing needed if man was going to be free from death was life. He had to have life. And that was the first thing, glory to God, hallelujah, that was needed was life. In other words, if man ain't going to be dead no more, glory to God, I like to say ain't, so, you know, I'm guilty of that a lot. If man not going to be dead no more, then he must have life in order to live. Man would have to have life, and in man, where does his life come from? If man has to have life, where does the life come from in man? If he's not going to be dead no more, glory to God, hallelujah, but if he is to live again, he must have life, and where is the source of that life? Where does that life come from? Glory to God, it says in Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Are we getting somewhere? And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The life that man needed was in the blood. The life that man needed was going to be found in the blood of that which was going to come to destroy death by becoming a sacrifice for all humanity. That life was in that blood. Glory to God. Deuteronomy 12:23. Only be sure that thou eat not blood, for the blood is the life, and thou mayest not eat the life with the flesh. Glory to God. So now we see, one thing that man is going to need if he's going to live again is a life that is found in the blood. The figure man, the figure that John saw in heaven, that's standing in the midst of God and in the midst of the elders, and the earth needed life that it could live again, so the blood with the life in it would have to be applied before man could live again. In other words, if the life is in the blood, glory to God, hallelujah, in order for man to live again, that blood, that life that is in the blood has to be applied. There has to be an application process. This application process in the old scriptures, in the Hebrew scriptures, was done on the Day of Atonement by the high priest, where they would apply the blood on the mercy seat, glory to God, hallelujah, in order that man could continue to live for another year free of sin by the blood of animals. And it wasn't sufficient enough to do this for a permanent once and for all, but the figure of Adam, who was a quickening spirit, or the Lord from heaven, would have a life that would be eternal, to where the application of that blood would only need to be done one time for everybody. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And this application had to take place. And we find Bible for that in Exodus 12:12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And when the blood of Jesus, when the blood of Christ is applied to us, glory to God, hallelujah, we no longer, glory to God, are identified as a vessel of sin. So God passes over us in his execution of judgment because the blood of Jesus has given us a life that we can live again in a newness of state, not like the old man, but like the new man in the likeness of Christ. The application of the blood of the earth blood is carried out in heaven. Now, this is a problem. Glory to God, hallelujah. We need something. We need a man. This man has to have blood that has a life in it that can be given on earth for mankind. Yet the application, glory to God, because he is an eternal being, because he is an eternal being, the application of the blood has to be carried out in heaven. The sprinkling of the blood in the holiest of holy places has to be done in heaven because the second Adam is the Lord from heaven. So if the second Adam, glory to God, hallelujah, who becomes the high priest at the order of Melchizedek, glory to God, hallelujah, is to execute, he has to execute in the dominion that he exists in. He does not exist in the dominion of earth. He exists in the dominion of heaven. So therefore, the process of the application of the blood had to be carried out in heaven. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hand, that is to say, not of this building or not of this world, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He entered in once and he applied the blood. That is an eternal application. Glory to God that never ends. Glory to God, because in an eternal dominion, there are no minutes, there are no seconds for nothing to end. It is eternal. Therefore, he did it once, and it is for eternal for all mankind. A million years from now, the blood of Jesus is still applied in an eternal fashion for the forgiveness of sins of all humanity. Glory to God, hallelujah. And he only had to do that once. Glory to God, hallelujah. And now, will the blood come from heaven, and how will it get to heaven? Glory to God. Where did the blood come from, and how will it get to heaven? Glory to God. The blood was going to come, had to come, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, from the dominion that blood exists in. Blood does not exist in the dominion of heaven. Glory to God. That's why it had to be transported there by the high priest after the order of Melchizedek in order to carry out the application, because blood is a property of this dominion. So where is it going to come from if everybody is dead? Where is it going to come from? Glory to God. Hallelujah. If everybody that has a life is dead and there is no blood left with life in it, glory to God, to deal with this thing called death, where is it going to come from? Oh, glory to God, hallelujah. And how will it get to heaven? The next day, John sees Jesus. Are we getting on down now? Jesus has come into the world. Glory to God. The second Adam, or the Lord from heaven, is here now. He is here. Glory to God. And the next day John seeth coming unto him, and say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ was made the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And we know in Exodus, the 12th chapter, the lamb, the Paschal lamb was used, amen, to extract the blood for the remission of the sins, or for the atonement of mankind from year to year. On the 14th day of Nisan, the lamb would be put to death. Glory to God, hallelujah. So Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah, was that which was going to come into the world, glory to God, that would have a life in the blood, glory to God, hallelujah, that would be able to cause man to live again. Therefore, it had to be after his kind. It had to be after Adam, glory to God, hallelujah. He had to be after Adam, after the figure of him that was on earth. Therefore, he had to be flesh also, in order to produce the blood and to be the sacrifice. In other words, there had to be a sacrifice for this blood that was going to be required to redeem man. Somebody had to be a sacrifice. So that sacrifice had to be flesh, because flesh is mortal, flesh is corrupt, flesh can be destroyed. It could not remain in the eternal dominion that it was, because anything in the eternal dominion cannot be destroyed. It cannot die. It cannot be used as a sacrifice. So it had to be made like the temporal things of earth, in order that it could become the sacrifice. In order that it could die, it had to be made flesh, so that he could die. Glory to God, hallelujah. In other words, glory to God, hallelujah. If he had not been made flesh, then this sacrifice could not have taken place, because he would have been in an eternal dimension that could not change. I am God and I change not. Therefore, he couldn't change. Glory to God, hallelujah. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings I would not, but a body has there prepared me. You prepared me a body, glory to God, hallelujah, when I come into the world, when the second Adam, or the Lord from heaven, came into the world, had found himself prepared in a body for the purpose of being the sacrifice that was going to yield the perfect blood, in order that man could get a life, receive a life that would have victory over death. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. This man, Jesus, glory to God, after he had offered that one sacrifice in the flesh, sat down on the sins of God. And where, glory to God, did he come from? He came from heaven. That's where he came from. Glory to God. John 3:13 says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And I tell you now, for those that are listening out there, the Son of Man don't have nothing to do. There's no implication. There is no implying that he is the Son of Man because he came through the seed of David. I tell you now, that is not so. He is not called the Son of Man because he came through the seed of David. Christ didn't come through nobody's seed. Understand that. Christ came through nobody's seed. Glory to God. And he is the Son of Man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He is the Son of Man because that which was eternal, that which existed in an eternal dominion, had to make itself temporal in order that it could die, in order that it could be corrupt, in order that it could be mortal, glory to God, and die. Therefore, it had to take on the title of the Son of Man, because he had to make himself mortal to carry the connotation of weakness and mortality. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And also the Son of Man, we don't have time to get into it, but it further denotes the fifth kingdom in Daniel 7:13. Glory to God. For Christ will rule. Glory to God. Hallelujah. As the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Glory to God. But it is the Son of Man to show the weakness, to show the frailty of the human being, of the earthlings. Glory to God, and how they are subject to corruption, how they are subject to being destroyed. Glory to God, hallelujah. So he had to be called the Son of Man when he became a sacrifice of flesh in order to give himself for the sins of the world. Glory to God. But he was the bread of God, the bread of God which came down from heaven in John 6:33. And the bread of God is God's word. The bread of God, what we feed on, the bread of God is God's word. So he was, amen, the word of God that cometh down from heaven. He said in 6:38, I came down from heaven. That's where I came from. Glory to God. I didn't come out of nobody's womb. Glory to God, hallelujah. I didn't come, glory to God, hallelujah, through nobody's seed. I came down from heaven in John 6:38, because that's where he come. Glory to God, hallelujah. He was the only existing entity in all of the universe that could do this thing. Glory to God, God Almighty, and he came down from heaven. Now, Ephesians 4:9 says, And now that he ascended, which is but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the world, he that descended is the same also that ascended far up above all heavens, that he might fill all things. In other words, the entity that came down from heaven is the same one that went to heaven. Nobody went to heaven. Glory to God, hallelujah. Nobody went to heaven except he that came down from heaven, and he that came down from heaven was the bread of God, or the word of God that came down from heaven. Glory to God, hallelujah. And nobody else went there, and nobody else can go there, because nobody has immortality except God Almighty. If there's a Son of God in heaven now, he has no immortality. If there's a Son of God anywhere now, he has no immortality. Nobody has immortality but God Almighty. Get that? Even the angels don't have immortality, even though they are an eternal being, but they do not have immortality because of iniquity. They are subject to sin, and because they are subject to sin, they are subject to stand the judgment as man. Glory to God, even though they have to live according to God in the Spirit. Nobody has immortality but God Almighty. Glory to God in 1 Timothy, glory to God, 6, amen, 15, in which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and omnipotentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, in whom be honor and power everlasting. Nobody has immortality except God Almighty. And it was that same God that came down from heaven and that was recognized as the Christ here on earth, glory to God, hallelujah, here on earth, that went back to heaven and sat down on his throne, glory to God, with the word of God to be used, glory to God, as the intercessor of mankind, glory to God, and to save him from further sin, glory to God, against God's word. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So now we see heaven was without a problem. It was earth, the sacrifice that was needed, the perfect blood that was needed, and the application that was needed. And all of this had to be done, all of this had to be done without violating the first principles of the oracles of God. All of this had to come about, this plan of salvation had to come about. This is just going to take an exceedingly long time, but we'll get as much as we can in. Glory to God, hallelujah. This had to come about without violating the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, what are the first principles of the oracles of God? Glory to God, hallelujah. That's how it had to come about. The Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world, the one that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, and not using the blood of goats and not using the blood of calves, but by his own blood he was able to enter in. All of this had to be done without violating the principles of the first oracles of God. Now, the principles of the first oracles of God is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Mark 12:29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, Jesus in front, glory to God, of the scribes and the Pharisees, called himself God. And he took up stones and kept it. And he went to the scriptures, he went to Psalms, glory to God, and proved in the scriptures, glory to God, that he had the authority to call himself God. And then after he went to the scriptures, he took up stones then to really kill him, glory to God, because they realized that that man standing there was nobody's son, but he was the Lord from heaven, the second Adam, after the kind of the first Adam that was necessary to take on flesh in order to be the sacrifice and to produce the perfect blood, glory to God, that was going to be sprinkled in God's eternal heaven for the atonement of mankind. Thou believest that there is one God, James 2:9, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. So all of this had to be done without invoking another God. All of this had to be done without invoking anything equal to God. All of this had to be done without violating the first principles of the oracles of God. That God is one and there is none else. He is the only God in all of the universe. Glory to God, hallelujah. How is it going to be done? Glory to God, hallelujah. How is it going to be done? We're going to have to leave out a lot of good stuff here. Glory to God, hallelujah. Deuteronomy 4:39, know therefore this day and consider in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and up on the earth beneath. There is none else. If there was anybody here walking this earth with the power of God and magnifying the power of God in healing and miracles, glory to God, in preaching his word, it was God Almighty, because he is the God in heaven above and he is the God in earth beneath. Glory to God, hallelujah, because he alone has immortality and there is none else. Glory to God, hallelujah. And you're my witness, it says in Isaiah 43:10-11. You're my witness, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Now, Jesus was the Savior. Now, if he is not God, then he can't be our Savior, because God says, besides me there is no Savior. Jesus was the Lord from heaven, or the second Adam, who was a quickening spirit, glory to God, hallelujah, wrapped in flesh, glory to God, for the purpose of producing the sacrifice and the perfect blood that was needed for man to live again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we have so many of these. You can read them in the book of Isaiah. You can read them on and on and on and on. You can read them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The first principles of the oracles of God had to be, glory to God, amen, kept intact. But man needs to be saved. Glory to God. And how is this going to be? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at this Almighty God. His seed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If he can be made applicable to the needs of this plan of salvation. Glory to God. Let's go to God. Let's go to heaven and see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What God is in heaven. And let's see what his record is in heaven. Let's see. Glory to God. Amen. How he is known in heaven in order. Glory to God, hallelujah, that we can get a hold on this thing. And 1 John 5:7 tells us, glory to God, when we look at God in heaven, it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, keep that in mind now, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, the correct interpretation of this scripture is that there are three records of one God in heaven. Or in heaven, there are three records of one God. Now, where's the Son? Where's the record of the Son? If God in heaven has a record as the Father, he has a record of the Word, and he has a record of the Holy Ghost, where is the record of the Son? Find it. Find it. Where is it? They don't exist. Glory to God. And in John 5:8, it says, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Where is the witness of the Son? Where is the witness of the Son? Again, there are three that bear witness in earth. There are three. That's now. That's present. There are three that bear record in heaven. That's now. That's present. That is now. That's not yesterday, that's not tomorrow, it's now, and now. There is no record of the Son of God in heaven now. The record of God in heaven is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and the record, glory to God, or the witness, glory to God, hallelujah, in earth is the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And there is no witness from the Son, glory to God, hallelujah, because the Son was. Glory to God, and that which was is no more. Glory to God, hallelujah. Amen. And we would like to get into the eternal unity of God to further support this. We just don't have the time. And Micah 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Known unto God are his works from the beginning to the end. Known unto God are his works from the beginning to the end. God knew this from the beginning to the end. Revelation 1:8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is and was and which is to come, the Almighty. Do you believe that? If you believe it, great. Happy should you be if you believe it. If you do believe that God is Alpha and Omega, that this Christ in Revelation 1:8 is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, I ask you, my friend, if God is the Alpha and Omega, if he is the beginning and the ending, if he always has been and always will be, glory to God, God Almighty, when was he was? When was God was in Revelation 1:8? Answer me, my friend. When was the eternal God was, if God always has been and always will be, when was he was? Because anything that was is no more. Glory to God, hallelujah. You can go down, amen, to the gas station and take your last $20 and put some gas in your car. You just could fill it up for that, but you can't no more. And you get that gas in your car, you don't have that $20 no more. It's gone. You sacrificed it. It don't exist no more as far as you're concerned. And you can't go back to the station and get it because you done burnt the man's gas. So anything that was is no more. And you tell me when God was. Tell me when God was. If God always has been, and if God always will be, you tell me when he was. Well, you can't tell me, but I can tell you. God was when he was in the flesh. When he wrapped himself in flesh for the purpose of dying as the sacrifice to give the perfect blood in order for man to live again. That's when he was. And that was that child that was born in Isaiah 9 and 6. That was the child that was born, glory to God, in Isaiah 9 and 6. Glory to God. That flesh, that the quickened spirit wrapped itself around for the purpose of death, glory to God, and the Bible makes it plain that he was put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. That's when God was, my friend. It's when, glory to God, he was manifested as the Son of God, glory to God, on this earth. When he was the God of the earth below, as he was the God of heaven above. When he was, and he is no more, that thing that Mary gave birth to began in the womb of Mary's body and ended on the cross, and it was no more of it because it was a sacrifice. And if you go to Exodus 12 and read of the sacrifice had to be totally consumed. Nothing could be left of that Paschal lamb. It had to be totally consumed before man could receive the atonement for their sins. It had to be completely used up. And that part of God, amen, that was the flesh part, was used up as a sacrifice. And that's when God was, my friend. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And now he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the Lord, the Almighty. Glory to God, hallelujah, according to Revelation. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Man's salvation is eternal, even as God is eternal, and was also counseled from the beginning. Glory to God. What you have today, glory to God, was counseled by God from the beginning. This plan of salvation, it's nothing that came, glory to God, at the time Mary gave birth to. It's something that always was, glory to God, there to be given at the appointed time that man, glory to God, could receive the life that was in the blood of Jesus and live again, free of sin, glory to God, to await his coming the second time without sin unto salvation, that he would be able to walk in the midst of the paradise of God. Glory to God, hallelujah, amen. So now, how can we get from the Almighty God, who is eternal and operates in an eternal dimension, to that which is needed to free man from death? How can we get, glory to God, from an eternal dimension, glory to God, hallelujah, to a mundane, to a temporal dimension, because the problem is in earth? We have to be able, glory to God, that thing that John saw, glory to God, hallelujah, has to be able to make the transition to temporal earth in order for man to live again. It has to be able to make that transition from eternity, glory to God, to temporal in order for man to live again. How is that going to happen? Glory to God, hallelujah. How is it going to happen? How is this plan of salvation going to be carried out? How did God do all that he did in all of the times, amen, before time? How did God do all that he did? Well, I tell you, my friend, God did all that he did, not as the Father, not as the Holy Ghost,
glory to God, hallelujah, that was his records in heaven. But all that God did was according to his record in heaven, that was the word of God. It was the word of God. Glory to God, hallelujah. Hebrews 11:3 tells us, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of those things which do appear. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God stands forever, my friend. It is through the word of God that God executes all that he does. There is nothing that God does not do except it be by his word. So this plan of salvation that was going to save man, glory to God, hallelujah, would have to be by the word of God. God made all things by his word. Nothing else that was made except it be made by his word. We know God because of his word. You hear me tell you in the beginning. We know God because of his word. We know God because of what the word says he is. Glory to God, hallelujah. Nothing, glory to God, hallelujah, would be able to be made and developed except it be by the word of God. And the figure that John saw had a say as to what it would be like that would come and destroy death, that man could live again. This figure that John saw as he stood there, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, in the midst of the throne of God, he had a say as to what he was going to be like. He had a say as to whether he would be something of this form or something of another form. Glory to God, hallelujah. But the Bible tells me that he had a say so. Glory to God, hallelujah. And Hebrews 2:16, it tells us, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels. He took not on him the nature of eternal entity as angels have, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He took onto him flesh of the seed of Abraham. Oh, glory to God, hallelujah. He had a say so in it. Glory to God. Hebrews 2:16, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. It behooved him to be made like his brethren, because even though he was the Lord from heaven, he still was the second Adam, and everything had to be like his kind. So he took upon himself the seed of Abraham, and it behooved him to be made like his brother. Glory to God, hallelujah. And that is how he was made like his brother, for the suffering of death. Glory to God, hallelujah. Amen. That he could be the sacrifice for the sins of the world and the producer of the perfect blood that was needed for man to live again. Glory to God, hallelujah. I love it when God opens it up and shows it to you. Therefore, the very word of God, listen to this, the very word of God then, in order for the word to be that which was going to save mankind, and in order for it to be a product of the sacrifice, and of the blood with the life in it, glory to God, hallelujah, the word of God had to be made flesh, or was transformed from one dominion to another dominion, that this salvation plan could work. Glory to God. In John 1:14 says, and the word, W-R-D, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The Word was made flesh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That operation, that record in heaven as the Word of God was that which God had used to execute all things that has ever been executed. And that Word, in order for it to work in this plan of salvation, in order for it to be a sacrifice, because the Word of God is eternal, it is forever and ever. It says heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never fail. In order for that Word, in order to work in this plan of salvation, that Word had to become mortal. That Word had to become, glory to God, corruptible. That Word had to become the Word to be destroyed. So therefore the Word manifested itself in the flesh. Glory to God. And we beheld His glory. And that which was manifested in the flesh was called the Son of God. It didn't say it was the Son of God. It says, in that holy thing that shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. Glory to God. Then there was, because it wasn't, because it was the Lord from heaven. He was the second Adam, glory to God, or the Lord from heaven, or a quickening spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we beheld that glory in this flesh, full of grace and full of truth. And the world could not contain the Word. And what do it be an eternal, and it lives forever. So it was made temporal, that it could be used as a sacrifice and destroyed. It had to be made flesh, which is mortal, and which can be destroyed. For Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He has made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Glory to God. And Timothy says in 3:16, great is the controversy of the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of the angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and was received up into the glory. God was. He was manifested in the flesh that He could become the sacrifice, that He could be a mortal being and could die at Golgotha in order to be dead with the sins of the world, shut up in that body in an eternal death. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Justified in the spirit. Glory to God. He was justified in the spirit when that which was dead, that which was eternally dead, glory to God, was justified in the spirit by being glorified with the glory that He had with Himself before the foundation of the world and made all God. Glory to God. As it was, glory to God, in the beginning. And then bleed on in the world and was received up into glory. Great is the mystery of godliness. I know you don't get this. Most of you don't get it, but it's still the truth. Most of you will never understand it, but it will always be the truth of God. Nothing will take place of the truth of God. And because you don't understand it, don't mean that it is wrong. My friend, have an open mind that you may be able to understand some of these things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Get your Bibles out real good this time and turn them over to Matthew 22:41. Glory to God. And let's look at this thing one more time. Glory to God, before I close out here. Let's look at it one more time. I've only delivered to you about 10% of what this presentation is. Glory to God. But in this little bit that I've given you, I hope that you can begin to see where the truth of God lies. Get your Bibles out and go over to Matthew 22:41. Glory to God, you hear me say a while ago that Christ was nobody's son, and that the Son of Man had nothing to do, glory to God, with Him coming through the house of David. Glory to God, hallelujah. It had to do, amen, with what He was, amen, in the flesh, amen, and then that He was pleased to be made like His brethren. He had to be recognized as the Son of Man because of His weakness, glory to God, hallelujah, and His mortality. Get your Bibles out, 22:41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus waited till He got them all together. This is in red, my friends, and you can believe it if you want to. It makes no difference with me. Glory to God, hallelujah. I know the truth, and I thank God for it. And I hope and I pray that all people would know the truth. But if you refuse to accept the truth, after reading it in red, there's nothing that I can do for you, and I certainly will never do anything against you. You will still be my friends. You will still be, glory to God, those that I pray for and those that I want to pray for me, glory to God. But the truth will still stand, my friend. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "Say, what think ye of Christ? What do you think about Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." Christ asked them, "Whose son is he?" And they replied, "The son of David." He said unto them, Christ said unto them, "How then, if he's the son of David, how then doth David in spirit, call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit there on my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool." If he is David's son, how did David in spirit tell him, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit there on my right hand till I make thy enemies my footstool"? In other words, corresponding with 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, "For he must ring until the life enemy is conquered." He must ring until the life enemy is conquered. And God is putting everything under his feet until the life enemy is conquered. And then it will go back to that to him that is accepted of all things, and that it will be God in all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying there. How did David in spirit call him Lord, saying, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies my footstool"? If David then called him Lord, listen to this, if David then called him Lord, how is he his son? My friend, Christ was nobody's son. Get that. Understand that. Christ was nobody's son, and you got a million people right now, and a lot of you listening, trying to put a twist on this right now to re-explain this, but there is no explaining to it. Christ said, "I am not the son of David. I am nobody's son." If he couldn't be the son of David, he certainly then would have been illegitimate. Glory to God, but he said, "I am nobody's son." If David called him Lord, how is he then his son? Christ was nobody's son, my friend. Christ was the Word of God, a man that was on record in heaven, made flesh. Glory to God, or the Son in Isaiah 9:6, the Son that was given. God gave his word to save humanity. God gave his word to save mankind. That was the Son that was given in Isaiah 9:6, was the word when it was made flesh. And when it was made flesh, it took upon itself the characteristics of a son of God. All glory to God. Hallelujah. And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Nobody messed with Christ on this sonship after that. Christ did not allow them to answer him no more questions in regards to who he was, because Christ was nobody's son. Christ was the Lord from heaven that came and wrapped himself in human flesh, glory to God, for the purpose of dying at Golgotha, and took the sins of the world and put in that body, glory to God, that would be the sacrifice, and the sacrifice had to be totally consumed, used up, glory to God, in an eternal death, glory to God, in order for man to be free of sin, glory to God, hallelujah, and went back to heaven like he came and sat down with the power of God, and the power of God is God's word. The power is in God's word. That's where it is. Glory to God. And that's why he sat down with the power of God, because he is the word of God. Amen. Revelation tells us, glory to God, hallelujah, who he is, that he is the word of God. Glory to God, hallelujah. Amen. Coming from heaven opened up, and all of the armies that are with him in heaven, and he has a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Son of God. Oh, glory to God. His name is called the Word of God. I beg your pardon. His name is called the Word of God. That's his name. That's who he is. Glory to God. That's what he was from the beginning. And and that's what he will be. Glory to God, for all eternity, he will be the Word of God that was made flesh. There's no Son of God in heaven now, and there's no record of the Son of God in heaven now. I've took up a lot of time, and I said, I'm only 10% through this thing, but I've given you something, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, that can make you think, that can make you ask some things, glory to God, hallelujah, amen. He revealed himself according to the name of Jesus Christ, or Yeshua, to his mother and to his friends. That's what he was, glory to God, but he was in essence the Word of God that was made flesh, glory to God, and dwelt among us, said, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, glory to God, hallelujah. And God said, my glory I will not give to another. I'm a jealous God. And he said, God, glorify me. After I'm glorify me in the Garden of Gethsemane with the glory with thine own self, with the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world was. In other words, that thing, glory to God, that was mortal. That thing that was going to suffer that eternal death. It was telling the Father, after I'm dead, I want you to make me all God. Because the scriptures say, I can't be left in hell. I can't be left, and I can't see corruption. Glory to God, hallelujah. Even though I'm eternally dead with the sins of the world wrapped up in this body, glory to God. If the scriptures are to be fulfilled, glory to God, hallelujah. I must be glorified with your glory in order to escape the grave, in order that the scriptures should be fulfilled. And for the purpose of the fulfilling of scriptures, the glory of God set upon that which was eternally dead and made it all God, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And my friend, if Christ is in heaven, as you say that he is, if Christ is in heaven, as you say that he is, then let me just ask you one thing. Let me just ask you one thing, my friend. If Christ is in heaven, how do we handle this that Peter said? How do we handle this which is spoken of by Peter? Huh? By Peter. 2 Peter 2:24. If Christ is in heaven, my friend, if Christ is in heaven, how do we handle this scripture, 2:24? 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Now, if he bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that's what it says. He bare our sins in his own body. That's what that body was used for. That body was used as a vessel, as a receptacle to hold the sins of the world in. Glory to God, hallelujah, that he could take it away out of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. He didn't take it away in a semi. He didn't take it away in a Mack truck. He took the sins of the world away in his body. He bare our sins in his own body. Now, if he is in heaven, if he is in heaven, glory to God, hallelujah, then sin is in heaven, and we're right back where we started with Lucifer. We're right back where we started at the beginning of this program, because if the Son of God is in heaven, glory to God, hallelujah, then sin is in heaven, glory to God, and we're right back where we started, and you don't have salvation. You're still dead to sin, and there's no hope for salvation to ever come to. That's the summation, Brother Wheeler, that I'd like to leave with you today. I didn't get it all. A lot more, but we are at this point that may have to call it quits, unless you say keep going.
Well, you've definitely given us something to think about, and there has been quite a bit of information shared there.
Yeah.
So we hope that all of our listeners were taking notes. I know I've been sitting here jotting down thoughts here and there, and following along with you in the Word of God, as you have laid out there like you said, you haven't covered everything, but you've given us enough to chew on and to consider and weigh the evidence and draw a conclusion for ourselves.
I've given you 10% of it.
That's right.
You can call me or write me, and I can give you the rest of it. I got an 800 number that anybody can call me on. I don't hide from nothing. I don't hide from nothing that I say. I stand up for what I say, and they can check it out. I give you scripture. You can check it out and see that it'll add up. And call me at 1-800-414-0441, and we can discuss some more of this.
All right. If somebody didn't feel comfortable in calling you, how long can they reach you via email? What's your email address?
Email, you can write info@apostolic-ministries.net. You can write cfwalker@apostolic-ministries.net. And you can email me. You can go on my website. I have a multiple number of boards. I have a blog on my website. I have a posting board on my website. I have numerous networking and interfacing items on my website that you can go in and post questions and get answers or just blow steam off or whatever you want to do. You can do that on my website. Do that on the blog.
That's at apostolic-ministries.net for those of you that are listening.
Right.
For those of you that are checking this phone cast out on the archive version, you can still go to those websites. They'll still be there. They've been there for years, and there's no intention of them going away anytime soon.
No. I just want to believe that there is no sign, and you're the only person living outside of us that says there is no sign. In heaven now, and we want you to prove it. And if you can prove it with our Bible, you take our Bible and prove it, we'll go along with you.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, sir.
That's interesting. Well, brother, go ahead and lead us in a word of prayer as we go off the air here, and then we're just going to go ahead and assure our listeners, check out our sponsor, UCStreaming.net. You'll be able to download today's broadcast later on this evening.
Yes.
So no more walls. Brother Walker, go ahead and end us in prayer.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just thank you again for this day. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and all that has been accomplished through your help and through your mercy by all of the saints of God around the world. And Lord, we thank you for this phone cast. We thank you for all of the participants, Lord. And we just ask you to open up their knowledge and open up their understanding, Lord, and continue to open up my knowledge and continue to open up my understanding of your word, that we can continue to go forth and express the word of God in no uncertain terms to the nations of the world. We just ask you to let your mercy abide on each and every soul, Lord, and just let it be healing mercy of the minds and for knowledge and wisdom and understanding, that the church may come together in unity and on one accord in these last and evil days. Lord, we just ask you to let us know your word, that we can deal with Satan in these last and evil days, for he will invoke his power upon all of the world, and those that are without the word of God, we know, Lord, that we will not be able to stand. So help us, Lord, to grasp your word. Help us to come together with an understanding, Lord. Help us to be brothers and sisters in the understanding of your word, that we might defeat Satan, and that the church may be able to go on to the final victory. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for those that made it possible. We ask you to bless them, bless their family, Lord, and bless their ministry, and bless the efforts that are going on in order to bring the saints of God together in unity. In Jesus' name, let everybody say to themselves, amen.
Amen. Amen. Once again, our listeners, be sure to check out our website, nomorewallsonline.com, and also apostolic-ministries.net. Be sure to visit today's sponsor, ucstreaming.net. On behalf of Brother Walker, myself, we're praying for you that God's very best will be yours.